Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. We'll come to that in a moment. In Max Lucado's book, The Eye of the Storm, there's a story about a parakeet named Chippy that's a pretty cute little story. Chippy is a parakeet who never saw it coming. One second, he was peaceful, perched in his cage, and the next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She put the end of the hose into Chippy's cage to clean the bottom, but then the phone rang. And as she turned, looking for her cell phone, all of a sudden she heard thunk, and it was Chippy, who is now lodged into the vacuum cleaner. The bird's owner gasped. She put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, quickly opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and dirt, she raced him to the bathroom, turned on the water, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted Chippy with hot air to make sure Chippy dried off. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a friend who had heard about this event called the owner to see how Chippy was doing in his recovery, and the owner replied, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal the song, not only from a bird, but from us. Sometimes we feel that things are going well one day, and the next day we can hardly seem to get it together. Sometimes we feel that everything in life is going well, and then the next day it seems like everything falls apart right underneath us. We feel as though Chippy must have felt. Life is filled with burdens that we must bear. Our life on this earth is filled with burdens that we must carry, with temptation that we must carry, with hardship that we must carry, and with sin that we feel the weight as we stand up under it. Life is difficult. But God's intention for the church is that we become a community that bears the burdens that we each hold, that we look and lean upon each other and we bear each other's burdens. And we see this in Galatians chapter 6. And I want us to turn there as we see what Paul writes concerning God's view of burden bearing. In verse 1 of Galatians 6, Paul begins by saying, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, before we move on, I always heard "bear one another's burdens," but I always neglected to quote, "and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. But we'll come back to that in a moment. For in verse 3, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." Now, we will dive into this as we discuss it this morning, but this passage, I want to begin by saying it gives directives to those of us who are spiritual. To those of us who are spiritual, those of us who are walking in the way of Christ, we have some directives that it demonstrates for us and that it encourages us to do. It includes two encouragements and two warnings. So we have two encouraging directives and two warning directives. First, we see that Paul says that we first are encouraged to gently restore those who are caught in a transgression. in verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, not just some transgressions, not just minor transgressions, but it says if they're caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. See, often we're encouraged to restore someone in harshness, in berating them, in degrading them, in telling them how horrible they are. But it says that we are to encourage them gently. We are to gently restore those who are caught in transgression. Who is to restore them? The spiritual ones. Now, we'll get to a definition of spiritual ones in a moment, but in essence, it's those who walk with Christ in the way of Christ and in the love of Christ. And as we continue this lesson, I hope that you will see the spiritual ones may not always be what we think they are. What kind of transgressions are you bearing? What kind of transgressions do we bear with one another in? It's transgression, which is not just bear with one another when they're exhausted because they've had a long week, or bear with one another whenever they want to complain. It's also bear with one another when sin is involved. That is the topic, if you look in verse 1. It's sin. Now, it applies, and we will apply it to those other situations, but we often find it easy to bear with one another when it's opinions. It's harder to bear with one another when it's sinfulness. Because when it's sinfulness, we get caught up in comparisons. But it says, bear with one another. If anyone is caught in any transgression, the spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Gently restore those who are caught in transgression. It seems the type of transgression must be those that endanger one and have the potential to separate that individual from the fellowship of Christ, whether that's the collective body of Christ or whether that's spiritually separating and segregating them from Christ in sin. Now, this speaks to the majority of the churches in the New Testament, not just those in Galatia. We just finished 1 Corinthians, and they weren't bearing with one another in their transgression. Well, maybe they're a little too bearing with one another in transgressions, but they weren't bearing with one another in other areas either. So there can be an overbearing, but there's an underbearing as well. We don't bear so much that everything's okay, because it says in verse 1, if anyone is caught, the spiritual should restore them. Not just let them do whatever they're doing, but restore them gently. That's the hard part. Gently. But the next encouraging directive that we are given here is to guard and keep watch that you who are spiritual do not fall into temptation while you're doing it. In the latter part of verse 1, keep watch on yourself. He's talking to those who are spiritual, lest you too be tempted. Now, this can mean a variety of things, and it can be played out in a variety of ways. But how often do we hear of someone who's correcting someone else, and they're so arrogant, they think they never could fall into that type of sin? And to be honest, sometimes the way we correct people, we restore people, is a sinful act when we're not being gentle. If you had kids, well, I guess we all have kids, but if you have kids or you know someone who has kids, you know it can often be difficult to gently restore someone, right? We are told and encouraged to fulfill the law of Christ in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, and we'll come back to that in a few moments. But in gist, the law of Christ is seen in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34, and it's also seen elsewhere. The law of Christ is to love. When we gently correct, when we gently bring back, restore one another, when we bear their burden, right? The bearing of a burden is when we gently restore them, not harshly restore them. It's gently restoring them. That is fulfilling the law of love. That means Even if someone treated us horribly, we ought to act gently with them. We ought to act in love. What are the burdens? The sin of transgression. It's the weight of the sin that they have and we all have felt from time to time. I may not sin the same way you sin, but I sin. You may not sin the same way I sin, but you sin. See, we're all in the same boat, and that's why we can cheer up one another. That's why we can bear each other's burdens. Because even though we may not have the same sins, we all struggle through sin. We're all tempted to sin. We are not perfect. We are being made perfect. When we bear the sinners and their struggles, we fulfill the law of Christ, the demonstration of love to others. But we're also given a warning. And that warning is not to practice self-deception. Not to think that we're above a sin of another. Not to think that we're better than we actually are. Not to deceive ourselves, looking more highly at ourselves than we ought to, Scripture says. Don't be self-deceived. In verse 3, it gives us a warning. If anyone thinks he is something when he is actually nothing, he deceives himself. You ever thought that? You ever thought, I would never do that? Church, don't deceive yourself. See, when we have a realistic understanding of who we are individually, we can then bear the burdens and transgressions of others gently and lovingly. What is the main point of these four verses? For that, we have to look at verse 5. Each will have to bear his own load. The main point of verses 1 through 4 comes in at verse 5. Each will have to bear his own load. And we're going to look at that here in a moment. But it's the idea, it's a proverbial saying of the time that illustrates that each person will have his proper reward. But we also see that we must not compare our holiness, our righteousness, our standing up under the pressure of sin and our status to that of others, the sinfulness of others. Rather, we must bear with them and remain humble. And then we see this unpacked. How do we put this into practice? How do we bear our own load so that we can bear the load of others? You see, before we can bear others' burdens, we have to learn how to bear our own. We have to come to terms with our own. Ensuring that you are right with God and practicing love, according to this passage. Do we look at ourselves first? It says, let each one test his own work. In Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's. How do we bear our own load? We ensure that we first are right with God and practicing the law of God. And only then do we have the right to start looking at restoring another person. Right? That doesn't mean I have to be perfect. That means what Jesus is saying here is I don't focus so much on their imperfection that I forget about mine. That I keep that in my mind. You ever struggled with something and then met someone who struggled the same thing? And then you said, let me tell you how I got out of that. Let me tell you how I overcame this. Or let me tell you how I dealt with that. We tend to be much more gentle because we understand. Church, what I'm saying is before we can gently restore another individual, we must first ensure that we are right with God, that we are practicing love, and that we are trying to get ourselves restored to where we should be. And we know it's a process that continues until the day we die, until the day that we are truly restored with God in heaven. We also find a source of our joy, not in the applause of others, but in ourselves? Why do you do what you do? Why do you point out mistakes of others? Some people, if you are always pointing out the mistakes of someone else, ask yourself why. Most often, it's because we want the attention turned to me as the source of perfection, as the example to everybody. When in reality, if I examine myself, make sure I'm right with God, make sure I'm looking at myself, I will realize I am no better than they are. I am a sinner as well. We are here to walk with each other, to support each other, to bear each other's burdens. But before I can bear your burden, before you can bear my burden, we have to ensure not only am I following God, but am I finding joy and am I doing what I'm doing for the applause or the attention of others, the insight and the esteem of others? Or am I doing it because it's something internal? It's a value that I have. It's what I want to be and who I know I am. Is it internal or external motivation? Reason. Then his reason to boast will be in himself alone. That's what it's talking about. Is the source of your joy in yourself, or is it in the applause, the attention of others? But also, before I can bear your burden, and bearing the burden includes restoring someone, keep that in mind. Before I can bear your burden and restore you, I have to ask not only those things, but I have to ask myself, is my joy, is my self-perception and how I see the world, is it dependent upon how God sees my faithfulness or how others see it? Is it, am I doing what I'm doing? Am I bearing your burden? Am I restoring you? Or are you restoring me because you want others to see it, or because you want God to see your faithfulness? Because you want others to view how righteous and holy you are, or because you want God to view how righteous and holy you are? This goes back into that internal versus external, but it takes it even deeper to a spiritual level. You see, a lot of people do a lot of things so that they look righteous, normally because they know deep down inside that they're not righteous. That's not the right motivation. A lot of times, if you find someone who's always picking on somebody else, it's because there's insecurity within themselves, because they know who they are when they stand with God, and instead of turning their attention to themselves, they want to turn it to someone. Now, church, it is not wrong to say this is sin and I want to help you get through this. It's not wrong to say you need restoration with God and with the family, but it's wrong if we don't keep check on ourselves as well. Jesus says it's wrong when you're focusing on a speck in someone else's eye and you haven't even addressed the log that's in your own. Church, we are called to bear the burdens of one another. We are called, if someone is caught in any transgression, the spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Who are the spiritual? It is those who are practicing the principles outlined in the first five verses of Galatians 6. It is those who look at themselves and examine themselves, and they do it not for the applause of others. They do it because it's what's the right thing to do. Is they do it not because they want others to see them as spiritual, because they know this is what following God and being righteous means, and I want to help this person achieve that as well. They do it because they love the individual. They do it gently. That is the spiritual one. Now, in Galatians, Paul is kind of doing a play on words and spiritual, but that is the spiritual one. As Christians, we bear each other's burdens. Those burdens are not always sin, but at times they are. And we need to bear those burdens of sin as well. The meaning of this is that we are not to form an improper opinion of ourselves that sets us above another who is struggling with sin. Likewise, we are not to base an opinion that looks down upon another based on their shortcoming. As we bear the burdens of each other, we learn humility and strength. And we begin to practice those more in depth. Humility and strength will lead to encouragement and support. And as we encourage and support each other through the difficulty of sinfulness, God will bless our efforts and renew our spirit. This week, make a habit of renewing the spirit of your brothers and sisters who are struggling in sin. After all, one day, not if, but when, one day, when you struggle in sin, you will need a shoulder to lean on as well. You will need a gentle restoration as well. I want to end with the words of a song called "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," a hit single from the Hollies in 1969, and for Neil Diamond in 1970. It says, "The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go, his welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not encumber me. He's not heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. If it's a long, long road from which there is no return, while we're on the way to there, why not share the load? Doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother." Church, can we say that we are bearing the burdens of one another? If you are a Christian who carries a burden, we want to support you through your trials. If you have arrogantly believed that you are beyond the sin of another, we want to walk with you through your burden as you're restored to Christ and a Christ attitude. Because we've all been there as well. Finally, if you have not given your life to Christ, you carry your burdens alone. And we want to help you change that this morning. And the change begins with putting your burdens at the feet of Christ as he hangs on the cross and as you die to your old self in baptism and are raised to a newness of life. Whatever your need is, please don't wait any longer to take care of it. Let us know so that we can help by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.